This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
What the fuck?
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa
rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to What the Fiqh. And this is a show where we discuss many different things. We talk about the intersections of different artists or, you know, imams or people who are involved in the field, activists, whatever. And I'm joined with a very special brother, Faisal Latif, is with us. Assalamu alaikum, akhi.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How you doing?
Buna buna, how you doing, bro?
Alhamdulillah, good.
I still think you should change it to that, bro. Buna buna.
It's pronounced bona.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was making fun of Rasam yesterday because that's what he was saying.
Yeah.
I was like, bro, what are you saying?
He makes fun of me like that, yeah. But
okay.
So it's more like Bonafide. That was the name of my first album.
Oh, okay.
Bonafide, Bon Appetit.
Okay, I've been saying Buna.
Yeah. I mean, that's how it's spelt.
Okay.
My parents didn't read English the same way they read their own language. So
I only recently found out that that's your real name.
It is, yeah. People think it's a stage name.
Yeah.
Which is a horrible stage name. I would never choose that. I actually wish I should have picked a stage name when I first started out.
Okay.
To me, it was a big mistake not picking a stage name.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, you want to have a special identity, a secret identity that you know. Yeah. I thought about going by Kunya, but that didn't work. Okay. My Kunya is Abu Sakina. Nobody calls me that.
That's not even, it doesn't flow with you.
It doesn't flow, no.
That's not you.
I actually thought, like, if I had a stage name, it would have been Luqman Hakim.
Oh, you're talking about completely
different different name. No. Not me.
Like a nickname.
No. Stage name.
Oh, okay.
I would have been Luqman Abdul Hakim. That would have been my stage name.
That's, no.
I like that name. I like the name Luqman.
Luqman?
Yeah, but then it's...
Maybe the
it's,
next one.
It's funny enough that like non-Muslims can't pronounce it. Like, Luqman, that's what it sounds like when a non-Muslim
Buna is easy.
Yeah.
Buna is a character, bro.
It's
got a personality to that name.
But it's very unique, and even in my culture, like in the Oromo language, it's pronounced Bona. It means like someone who's proud. So if someone is Bona, it means in my culture, we were oppressed. The Oromo people themselves were very oppressed for many years. They couldn't express themselves. They weren't allowed to speak their language openly. Mm-hmm. So to call yourself Bona or call your child that is like a slap in the face to the establishment. It's like, and what? Right, so to my parents' generation, it's a very strong name. When people hear it, they're like, "Oh my God, wow, that's your name!" And then when Canadians hear it, they're like, "What a silly name!" You know. So it is what it is. Alhamdulillah, it's been able to distinguish me from other people.
Mm-hmm.
I met three other people named Bona. I met one guy. I was in my parents' my father's village, and I was walking. It's actually not a village; it's a city called Harar in Ethiopia.
Okay.
And I was walking on the street. My cousin pointed out. He's like, "Oh, this guy's name is Bona as well." And I was like, "Oh, really?" He's like, "Yeah, but he's a thief." I was like, "Oh, damn." I was like, "Why do I gotta be related to this guy?" Anyways, there's two other guys in Toronto that I know of. I never met them.
Named Bona?
Named Bona, yeah. Sam was telling me about a guy he knows in Seattle who's also a rapper named Bona Muhammad.
Get out of here.
Yeah,
bro.
Yeah. I never met him.
You're not unique.
Hopefully he's a good guy. I don't know. He's out there. Hopefully he doesn't ruin my name so that's people don't crazy, confuse me for him. But alhamdulillah. Anyways, back to you. Okay. Faisal Latif. For those of you who don't know, he's a qadi, a munshid.
I'm not a qadi, bro.
Well, if you're not a qadi, then
I'm just a reciter.
A reciter. What's the difference? Qadi, reciter.
Qadi is generally somebody who has studied the 10 qira'at.
Oh, okay, yeah. I see that.
But I guess in the literal sense, I'm a qadi.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a reciter.
Yeah. Qadi is someone who just recites.
Yeah.
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 Like, I know people who have memorized, who have studied the 10 qira'at, but I wouldn't even consider them to be a qadi.
Oh.
Like, I would never push them in front of the line to lead salah, right? Okay. Although they have much more knowledge, their voice doesn't sound as nice, right? Like, it's not the same thing, right?
Oh,
whereas you, mashallah, it's like, mwah. It's like halwa, you know what I mean? It's like, it's sweet. People like to listen to it. Which I'm sure can be kind of weird in and of itself, kind of a fitna for, you know, what it is. I mean, people know you for reciting the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be honest with you. This is something that I've told other artists before. When I rank like different Muslim-ish speakers, performers, whatever, like the people who would get invited to events. In my experience, you have like the imams or the shuyukh or talab al-ilm, right? You'll have like comedians who can be kind of like, you know, some Muslim comedians, I find them to be not even really practicing Islam. Mm-hmm, some of them are just kind of, they just make fun of culture.
Yeah.
Poets who are okay, I'm more biased towards them. They're, you know, not bad. But the Qura that I've met, that I've traveled with and been around, to me, some of them are the worst.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Man.
Unfortunately, you're a mashallah. You're helping to bring them back on track. But the ones that I've met some divas, man.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm saying this in the public setting, just so people know, like,
of course,
what behind the scenes, what kind of stuff happens,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
That some qurra, you meet them and you're like, man, you're an embodiment of the Quran.
Mm.
Like, you, like, yeah. you know, this person who is, you know, oh, I need this type of thing. I need this type of chicken, spice like this, you know, like on the road, I'm traveling, we're going to events. Or they're like, you know, after the event, I want to go party. I want to go out with my friends. And I'm just like, wow, my, this is crazy. Like, you're supposed to be like, you know, you're half of the water. But then some people who would just, you know, they have a nice voice.
Uh-huh.
They just get pushed into it when they're young.
Yeah.
And there's no real, like, taqwa attached to it. It's not something that they consciously, you know, even really care about. Tell me your journey of the Quran. I'm interested to know. How did you get, you know, associated with the Quran? Which is an honor in of itself.
My journey with the Quran, bro. My parents put me into it at a really
young
age.
You're one of these kids I'm talking about that just gets thrown.
Yeah.
Never mind. Sorry. We'll just backtrack on that. Yeah.
So my parents put me into, I learned how to read at a really young age.
Mm-hmm.
I learned when I was, I think they put me when I was 3 or 4.
You learned how to read Arabic in 3 or 4?
Not Arabic, just Quran.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, Mus'haf. I guess. So you read from the Mus'haf at 3 or 4?
4. Let's say 4.
Wow, mashallah.
Yeah. By 6, I had finished reading the Quran in its entirety twice. Alhamdulillah.
Mashallah.
I was just a kid, bro. Like,
You didn't know what was up. You didn't know what was up or
like,
what was down.
I just knew that I was supposed to do it. So I was like, I'm going to do it.
Do it or there's a shoe flying at your head.
So,
and this was in the U.S. or where was this?
This was in Staten Island, New York, bro.
In Staten Island, okay. Yeah.
I was born in Brooklyn. And
BK represent?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Without a doubt. Flatbush.
Flatbush. Yeah, there we go. There's probably nobody listening from Flatbush.
Nobody.
Yeah. And we're in Canada right now, so definitely nobody.
Maybe from somebody here. From Brampton, but...
Yeah, Brampton or Guelph, probably, Ontario.
Guelph.
Yeah.
So, what was I saying, bro?
So your parents had you start reading at 6?
I finished
finished the Quran twice by the time you were 6. Right.
I lived in Staten Island, New York. My teacher was in Staten Island, New York.
So it was just private lessons?
No, I used to go to like the typical, you know, the masjid halaqa,
right,
where this teacher would sit.
Madrasa,
like,
okay.
Yeah, you can call it a madrasa. It was after school every day.
Okay.
My parents would drive me there and that was it. And I, alhamdulillah, I excelled in learning to read, but I did not excel in memorizing.
Hmm.
I was not good at it whatsoever, bro.
Right. And those are two separate talents.
Yeah, bro. So okay. I clearly remember, bro, I was memorizing Surah Al-Qari'ah.
Mm.
So like after I finished reading and whatever, my dad was like, "Do you want to memorize it?" I was like, "Yeah, sure." Like
it
was,
I already read it. So,
yeah. So like it wasn't
it, home.
It wasn't a thing. Like I was just like, I guess I'll do it. Like it wasn't really I don't know what I was getting into.
Mm.
So I was like, cool, I'll do it. And then I started, and I remember when I got to Surah Al-Qari'ah, right? And I clearly remember, bro, the teacher gave me a lesson. He said, just 3 verses, bro. Al-Qari'ah, Mal-Qari'ah, Wama Adraka Mal-Qari'ah, all right? And I learned it. I literally spent all day learning it, all right? Mm. And I was like, I'm going to do this. Like, I had, before that, I was struggling, okay?
Mm.
But that one day, I was like, I'm going to do this. Like, I'm going to get it right, okay?
Mm.
And I go to the teacher the next day. I don't remember anything.
Wow.
Bro, and out of the 3 verses, like, the same word was in it, like, over half the time.
Al-Qari'ah. But this is what? You're 6 years old, I mean.
I was, probably like 8 or something.
Oh, okay, now we have a problem.
Yeah,
if you're
now it's wrong, bro.
If you're 8 years old, and Al-Qari'ah is becoming an issue.
Yeah, so, anyways, I memorized, I don't think I finished the 30th just with that teacher. But then, anyways, I turned 10. We moved to Tampa, Florida.
Okay.
I live in Tampa, Florida. And I was on and off with memorization throughout my life.
Mm.
But I actually genuinely started at the age of 12.
Okay.
And I finished when I was 15.
MashaAllah.
For a portion of that time, I went to Atlanta, Masjid Farooq. I did like 6 months there.
Mm.
Then I came back.
Is it like an intensive program?
That was madrasa. So that was full time, bro.
Oh, okay.
So wake up Fajr time.
Oh. Is it like a Darul Uloom or?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And then, so it's full time every
full
day,
time, bro.
6 months.
Yep.
How many juz did you complete during that time?
I did 10.
Oh, that's a lot.
I did 10 in those 6 months. My first 10.
Okay. Yeah. From the back or from
the front?
Front. Okay. Yeah. Wow. So Baqarah and beyond.
Yeah.
Until when? Until like.
Until the 10th juz.
What? What is that? I'm going to test your knowledge right now. What is the 10th juz?
I think, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. That one.
Or maybe I just finished Qal al-Mala'u. Yeah. The 9th juz.
The 9th juz. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so then you did that in Atlanta.
Yeah, and then I left Atlanta and I went back to Tampa.
Okay.
And I finished it there. I had several teachers throughout that time period. I had, so.
How old were you when you finished?
15.
Wow.
15 is when I finished. And after that, that's it, bro. And then I had my phase where I left the Quran for a very long time because I didn't care about it whatsoever.
SubhanAllah.
And then I came back to it, alhamdulillah, like started getting a genuine love for it out of nowhere, alhamdulillah. I went back to it around 18, 19, that age.
So those few years between 15 and 18, 19.
Bad, bro.
You were just like, yeah. I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
And then now,
did you forget anything during that time?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, bro. Without a doubt.
How much juz do you think you would have forgotten?
Bro, honestly, I think it's safe to say I forgot more than I remembered.
What does that mean? You forgot everything?
No. I forgot more
than
I
remembered. So more than half?
Yeah.
You forgot more than half?
Yeah, bro.
Wow.
Yeah. It was deep. It was deep times, bro. Deep times.
Wow.
Yeah, that's where my phase was in that time period. And some people have it early, some people have it later in their life. But alhamdulillah, mine was like right there in between. And I came back to alhamdulillah on Instagram. I post recitations on Instagram. So that's where I started posting. And that kind of keeps me on track, you know? People think that you're doing it like just to become a big reciter or whatever. But like they don't realize it serves as a decent means to keeping you on track or the path you want to be on, you know? So like the reminders I post on there, the Quran recitations and whatnot. And that really, I think maybe was a means of me reigniting that love for the Quran inside.
Mashallah. So it's more for you than it is for anyone else.
Yeah.
Wow. And so obviously, you know, you've gone on this journey of knowledge, and mostly when we speak about, you know, being a student of knowledge, the first step really is the Quran. Right, this is kind of the infancy of what you would take with you on this quest. So you started with hifz of the Quran, and then where did your Islamic studies take you after that?
Bro, Islamic studies, I actually haven't studied any like deep Islamic studies. Right now I'm in Egypt, and it's just to study the Arabic language, bro. I'm probably going to be there for a few more months, and I'm back to Tampa. But my main goal is just studying, getting Arabic, just the language.
But before that, you were in Medina, from what I recall.
To learn Arabic.
Right.
Yeah, that's it.
So, but you actually got accepted into Medina.
Yeah.
And how long were you there for?
I was there for 8 months. 8 months.
Oh, so you did like one whole year?
Nah, bro. I did 3 months of classes.
What were you doing on the side? Are you partying in Jeddah or what was going on?
No, so listen. I left Medina. I left Medina on purpose.
You know, people like fantasize about going to Medina.
Yeah.
They make like Qiyamul Layl for like years to get into Medina.
Yeah.
Okay. And you just are like, I'm good.
Yeah, I didn't like it, bro.
You didn't like it?
I didn't like it. Like, legit, I didn't like it. Wow. So it was, so the plan for Medina was going into it straight out of high school. And I applied senior year of high school. I didn't get in. Sorry, I had to burp, bro.
Oh, do your thing.
And it didn't happen. So I went to USF. I started my bachelor's degree. And 2 years in, I got an acceptance. And I was like, all right, cool. I guess I'll go.
2 years into university.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I left uni and I went to Medina. I honestly didn't have the same goals anymore at that time. I didn't really care. But I was like, it's Medina, you know, let me go. And I went to the school, and I wasn't happy. You know, when it on this path of like doing anything that has to do with the deen, it comes with sacrifice, right? It comes with like hardships. That's perfectly fine. That's cool, right? But I just genuinely could not stand it. So what happened was, we got there late in the semester, the batch that they accepted. So we weren't supposed to start till the next semester, which was end of January. And so I chilled for that time. I took Quran classes in the masjid itself. Masjid Nabawi, yeah. Okay. And that was every day. And then, anyways, I chilled. You know, I would go to Mecca like every weekend and like every
day. Come back.
Chill, you know, maybe spend a week in Mecca.
And, oh, what a horrible life you had.
Bro, so that was the blessing, bro. I was Haramain all the time.
Allah.
I lived in Medina like 2 minute drive from the masjid. And it was great. I was loving it, you know, alhamdulillah. Anyways, class time came and I was excited to start. It was supposed to start January 20th. I'm there January 20th. I go to the school and no teachers show up. I'm like, okay.
Are strikes halal there? How does it work? Teachers go on strike or?
Bro, so I go the first day. Nobody came. And I'm like, all right. And there's other students there as well. It's not just me. We find out they decided classes aren't starting until a week later. I'm like, all right, cool. I'm not going to come for a week. So I go back to my dorm, whatever, and I'm chilling for another week. I come back for a week later, and I get there, no teacher. But it's a full class now with kids, mm-hmm. right? And my thing that I was getting fed up with was, it was just so disorganized. It was, I don't know, not bad-mouthing the school, right? And if I'm saying anything, it's about the Arabic school, not the kulliyat or anything.
Right.
So I just, bro, I was done. Like, we had 5 periods. And it was just consistently, like, teacher not showing up. It was so bad that they had attendance for the teachers.
Wow.
And I'm like, mind you, like, I'm from US. I'm a college student, right? I'm done, like, people taking attendance. So I don't care if you're taking attendance for me, right? But, like, they're taking attendance for the teachers. Wow. Okay? And I was tired of, like, coming at 7 or 8 in the morning. I don't remember what the time was. In the morning. Mm-hmm. Sitting there for, like, 3 periods, no teacher. Mm-hmm. And then 4th period teacher decides to come. Mm-hmm. And then 5th period teacher didn't come. Mm. And then, like, I was just annoyed, you know?
So it was just a bit too disorganized for
you. Yeah. And then I was like, all right, let me change classes. I changed classes, same thing. So I was like, I'm done. Like, I'm going to miss Medina, but I can't stay here. And I was also going through, like, another phase in my life at the same time. So it just kind of, like, went all together. Mm. And I left.
Wow.
Yeah.
What did you hear about Medina's now offering classes online?
I did. Yeah. Oh, so that's another thing. Another reason. It wasn't just because of the disorganization or whatever. It's because I didn't like the program.
Oh, okay.
I didn't like the program.
That's a major thing too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I didn't like the program, bro. It was...
But how did you not like it if you never went to it?
I went to it. I had classes.
Oh, but just the Arabic. You mean you didn't like the Arabic program?
The Arabic program.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. My sole purpose there was I want to learn Arabic. That's
right.
It. Right. And I did not like it.
You didn't like the way...
Method of teaching.
Did they use the Medina books in Medina?
Not in the class that I was in.
Okay. You know which book I'm talking about. Yeah. The classic Medina books everyone uses.
They don't use those.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe not till later. I don't know about that. But
right.
Because there's 2 years of it. So it's 4 levels. Mm. And I was in the first level.
Okay.
And it was just, I didn't like at all.
And what are you starting from? Like, do they categorize people who can read, cannot read Arabic? So it's everyone's so it's from Alif, Ba, Ta, Tha.
It's not that level one.
Okay.
If you're at that level, then they probably put you in something else.
Like an elementary kids class.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But other than that, it's, you walk into class and it's just, hada qalam, hada kitab. And I'm just like, bro, like this revert brother next to me who's never like done anything doesn't even know this alphabet. Like, what are you doing?
Mm.
You know? So I didn't like it. And I also didn't agree with the whole, you got to learn the language in the language mentality.
Mm.
Like, it's not that simple for everybody, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not being like a diva, you know, like, oh, this doesn't work for me. I'm not going to do it. No, mm-hmm. it wasn't like that. I just don't, I think you need to have a certain level before you.
Right.
But that's besides the point.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like it.
Okay.
And I left.
Okay.
And then I went to Egypt.
Right. That's crazy though. Because I'm just saying that because, you know, for a lot of people, Medina is like the goal.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What was the response from family, friends, whatever?
My parents were upset. Ooh. They were disappointed, bro.
Probably got that shoe.
They were disappointed. They were upset, bro. My dad didn't talk to me, I think, for a little bit.
Damn.
Yeah, bro. Because, like you're saying, bro, like Medina is the place for everybody.
That's what I'm saying.
And like, oh, mashallah, your son's in Medina. Wow. Tell him to make dua for us or something.
Yeah.
You know? And
now where is he? He's in Florida. Oh no, I'm sorry to hear that. It's like inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un.
Yeah, bro. But I still wanted to learn Arabic. Mm-hmm. Actually, I was done. I was done with the Middle East. Like I had, because I went back to Florida for Ramadan or before Ramadan. We were on summer break, and then I got to the Weir and I led at Yasser Qadi's Masjid, Sheikh Yasser Qadi's Masjid
in Memphis. Right.
So before I went there, I was done. I didn't care about the Middle East. I was like, I'm done. I'm never going back. I don't care about Arabic. I'm through.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know, just being with in YQ's company for like a month, I was like, all right, like, I kind of want to be like this guy. So I came back from Ramadan and I decided that I want to go do the Arabic again.
MashaAllah.
And I ended up going to Egypt, alhamdulillah.
And now you've been in Egypt for how long?
Nearly a year. It's going to be a year in October.
Okay. I have a stereotype of my own.
Okay.
Okay. And I mentioned it earlier. I think sometimes Qura can be, especially in the community, in the way they're viewed from the outside, people put them on a pedestal, right? Mm-hmm. So you're a Qari, mm-hmm. mashallah, you recite the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
You must be like, you know, you are like our gift from the heavens. You are, you know, the cousins of angels.
Bro,
right?
I think it depends.
Mm.
So I totally see why you're saying that. And you think that like they're always put on a pedestal. And they are. I am, you know, at times. Mm. But the reason I do what I do is actually because of the complete opposite.
Mm.
So I was actually judged a lot and like bro, like deep stuff, mm-hmm. you know, like let me give you some examples. The reason I started my Instagram was for two reasons, right? I was actually close to completely turning off social media.
Right.
And I was going to just step away from it, right? Before I made my Instagram. I had an Instagram, but it was just to post my pictures and personal life or whatever. But I was shutting it all off. And one of my friends from the UK, he was like, yo, why don't you make a recitation account? Mm. I was like, all right, cool. I'll do that. So that was one reason. Another reason, which was the main driving force, was just the hate that I was constantly getting.
Mm.
So my community, I'm not saying the community at large, mm-hmm. just certain people don't like it when someone gets too much recognition or power, right? Mm. So I would say like they don't like when someone's loved too much, you know? Mm. So
they want to bring you back down.
Exactly. Mm. So I wasn't allowed to like forget, like make a difference, right? Because that's what I want to do. I want to make a difference, right?
Mm.
And I want to be a means of benefit, like bring value, right?
Mm-hmm.
And not just through Quran recitations, right? Mm-hmm. But that's what I wanted to do. And I couldn't do that in my community, let alone like, bro, they wouldn't even let me lead Salah. You know what I'm saying?
Why?
Bro, there's this one sheikh, okay? I don't know. I don't know if he's still there or not.
Okay.
But there was this one sheikh all the time, straight up judging me, bro. Mm. Like, and for dumb stuff too. Mm. He would be like, Faisal's not allowed to lead Salah because he shapes his beard. I'm like, bro, what?
Mm.
Like, because I shape my beard? Mm. I'm not allowed to lead Salah.
Mm.
Like the boy you wanna push to lead Salah can't even grow a beard. So like, was like, anyways, that was one thing. And then he would start spreading rumors about me.
Mm.
Like, Faisal is in it deep with girls. Mm. I'm like, excuse me?
SubhanAllah.
Huh? Excuse me?
Mm.
That's from leadership aspect. All right.
Okay.
Another aspect. Girls would try to approach me, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the wrong manner, right?
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't talk to them.
Mm.
Some of them wouldn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
So they would start spreading rumors. And not like little baby rumors. Like, mm. I mean, a girl once literally went to my Quran teacher and said, I had sex with Faisal.
La ilaha illallah.
Straight up.
That's scary, man.
And the worst part, bro, was... And I've had several Quran teachers, so nobody knows who this is.
Mm-hmm.
The worst part, bro, was... He talks to me and he's like, Faisal, listen, a girl just came and said this. I need to ask you, is this true or not true? And if it's true, you can share it with me. It will stay between us. Don't worry, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, it's not true. Like, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. That's crazy, mm-hmm. okay? And he was like, okay, I just wanted to confirm or deny it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to know what was true. Bro, class finishes and I'm on my way out of the masjid, right? Before I'm even in the parking lot, this is before I was driving, and my mom came to pick me up,
mm.
and she's on the phone in the car, all right? I walk into the car. Homeboy's already on the phone telling her this.
Wow.
I was like, are you kidding me?
Wow.
So, like, I started my Instagram account with Quran recitations, right? Because I wasn't allowed to do anything, mm. all right? I wanted to spread the Quran. I wasn't allowed to do it in my community. I was like, khalas, I'm going to do it in the rest of the world, bro.
But why do you think why do you feel like they, you know, it seems like they were either putting unfair expectations on you or, I don't know, maybe someone was jealous or maybe they, like, why would that even be a thing? Why would they try and stop you from doing khair?
Bro, some people love to, they would love to see you do great, you know? They love to see you do successful and they might even help you become successful.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as it's not more than them. The mm. moment you approach them, they want to bring you back down.
Mm.
You know? And people are just dirty like that.
Wow.
In all aspects. You know, yeah. Forget money. Like, goodness even.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to go study? Don't go there. You know? Mm. You know? Like, you want to become a student of knowledge? No, don't.
Well, I mean, hasid is a real thing too.
It is. Right? In all aspects, bro.
Yeah, yeah. And I know in my own experiences as a poet, as a writer, as, you know, whatever... there have been many people. I remember actually a guy who I went to school with roughly around the same. I went to like a media school,
uh-huh.
and I told him, I want to do an Islamic film. And he was like, no, you can never do it. Don't even try. It's a waste of time, you know, da da da. And I'm stubborn enough that was like motivation for me. I'm like, all right, dope.
Good.
Like, this is nice. Like, I needed someone to say that so then I can actually go out and do it. If everyone was on my side, I'd be like, oh, I'm tired. Maybe I don't want to do it, right? But I know like there are people who, they almost get like a thrill out of bringing you down.
Yeah.
Or it almost makes them feel better about themselves, you know, because they may not be doing much. So to see you also, you know, like a bum, like doing nothing is like, oh, great for them.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So how do you overcome that? I mean, how do you kind of your community members, your family, whoever, how do you then, you know, say to yourself, okay, well, I am going to try and make a difference. I'm going to try and do some khair in the world.
So I made my Instagram, let's just use that as an example. I used my Instagram, I started my Instagram account, right? And I posted my first Quran recitation. And I was consistent with it, right? And I'm a dude, I'm like, I need to do quality, right? Mm-hmm. So I actually didn't start it until I had everything I needed. Mm. So unless, like, you know, my video was good quality and I was doing it on a mic or something, mm-hmm. I didn't want to do it because I don't like doing that. I don't like half-assing things,
right?
You know, so I want to do it properly. Mm-hmm. How do you overcome it, bro? Like, because of that, I think it's about growing a backbone. You know, I think it's about literally not caring about, like, not giving a single crap about what anybody has to say about you, mm-hmm. you know? And obviously take that with a grain of salt as well, because you need to know how to take criticism, mm-hmm. right? Like, you can't have an ego at the same time, because people, like, they either do that really well, meaning not letting what others say or think about you get to you, mm-hmm. or they do it horribly, you know? And doing it well would be to where you develop an ego, and doing it horribly would be you just become so depressed and you become just, you stop your productivity, all the goals you have, you like start doubting yourself, and that's doing that horribly. I think it all comes down to you need to having absolutely zero concern with what anybody else says about you, right? As long as you know what you want to do and you are making your moves, you always have to be making moves, but at the same time surrounding yourself with those who love you to the extent where you know, forget them ever having to say anything or ever trying to prove anything to you, right? You just know from the vibe that they have, you get from them, that this person genuinely just wants to see me do great. Mm. You know, anything I'm trying to do, I know this person has my best interest in mind, regardless of them getting anything in return or not. Mm-hmm. You know, that's love. And anything that person says matters. That's where, and it, bro, people always think that, oh, my mom. That's my mom. My mom's that person, right? Mm-hmm. Or my dad's that person, or maybe my grandpa's that person, right? Bro, sometimes your family are the biggest people against you. You know, I'm mm-hmm. not saying my parents are like that. I'm just saying
right.
It's not always the people that you would expect to be the ones that you can turn to. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it's you're a complete stranger. You know, and anyways. Sorry, I digress.
No, you seem very passionate about this. I mean, yeah. Clearly that was a trigger right there. But no, I think it's important and also understanding that it's a journey, yeah. right? And especially, you know, trying to start out in the field of da'wah. And what you're doing is a da'wah as well. You know, you're trying to remind people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trying to get them connected to the Qur'an.
Yeah.
And I think, like I said, I always had my stigmas mm-hmm. around Qur'an mm-hmm. because I've seen some kind of weird things from people.
People are disgusting, bro. Like,
well, I mean, also, in the scene, I think the scene brings that onto people. I think it's also a very awkward situation to be in, right? Like, definitely. People are they're fantasizing, you know, or like, I want to say fetishizing, but they're romanticizing what it is you're doing. And so there's just a lot of like pressure and expectations put on you. As a poet, it's great. People think, oh, this guy's an idiot. That's why he's a poet, right? Like, I don't have the same expectations placed on me, but as a person who's memorized, and I have it myself, I think, oh, this guy's a qadi, right? But you're regular people too.
Yeah.
You know, some, you meet qura. In Egypt, there's qura who smoke cigarettes, and you know what I mean? Like, bro,
a funny story. I was doing a lot. I wasn't doing live. I was watching a live once of a reciter.
Mm.
He was Indonesian or Malaysian. I don't remember what. But I came across one of his videos. I don't follow him. Mm-hmm. But I came across him doing a live, all right? And my dude recited, right? He had like 35-second breath or something, right? And he recites the verse, bro. He sits back. He takes a puff.
Oh, yeah.
In the live stream. And he's reciting Quran, bro.
Wow.
I was like, this is brand new to me. Like, this dude literally recited some verses, right?
Uh-huh.
Sat back, took a break, and took a puff.
Puff, puff, pass.
Put it down. And literally went back to doing it. I was like, what's happening here?
That's some California lungs, you know? The Quran in California, I think they got some lungs like that. I don't know. I'm not bashing on California. But so what is it about social media? What is it about? Go ahead, grab your water. It's all raw. Anyone can see anything. Yeah. What is it about social media, in particular Instagram, that has attracted people? Because you, I mean, you take care of your account. I was asking you earlier, I'm like, what do you do? And you were telling me it's all about consistency. It's all about making sure you post. Yeah. What is it about the strategy do you think has allowed you to become quite successful on social media?
Bro, I think, bro, that question has so many different aspects to it. The way I see life, right, is anything that you're trying to do or accomplish, it does not have just one side to it. Meaning it doesn't just have a, all right, what do I need to do side to it. It also has a, I believe, and this is the way I approach things, what is my relationship with Allah like, right? Mm-hmm. So when it comes to let's just say Instagram, right? From the moment that I started Instagram, it's been a constant battle of working on myself as well, right?
Mm.
So not just what I'm doing and how can I get it out there, but why am I doing what I'm doing? Mm. And what am I doing it for? What am I expecting to get out of it, right? So, and I think this is people's biggest downfall, right? Because I think when you start out and you're growing, that's your test phase from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? You're either going to get big for the right reason or you're going to get big for the wrong reason, okay? Mm-hmm. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, right? Innam al-a'malu binniyat, right? You...
The Prophet
ﷺ said this in Innam al-a'malu binniyat. Actions are according to intentions.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the hadith continues, he says, like, in paraphrasing, you're gonna get what your intention is. Mm-hmm. Okay? So if your intention is not seeking the reward from Allah, you're not gonna get that on the day of judgment.
Right.
If your intention is seeking fame, you're gonna get the fame.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If you're seeking fame and you're putting in the work, you're gonna get the fame.
Right.
It's as simple as that. All right? So beginning my Instagram account has been a huge learning journey that, you know, where my head is at, you know, why am I doing it? Do I care about my afterlife?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because also do I care about this life?
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens is, like, the moment people start to get the slightest bit of fame, they love the attention.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter who the attention is coming from,
mm-hmm,
or what kind of attention it is. If you're giving me attention, I'm going for it, you know?
Yeah.
That's some people's mentality. Whether it's a big person who you would never associate, you would have never associated with them, but just because they maybe have a couple hundred thousand followers or a few hundred thousand followers, you're like, oh, this person can be a benefit for me.
Mm-hmm.
What are you thinking? You're thinking, this person can benefit me in some way. You have absolutely nothing else in your mind other than how can I use this person? And that's disgusting. And I think if we don't watch ourselves as people, as humans on social media, we're going down a huge spiral of the way we think, the way we act, what we associate ourselves with. There's only, bro, fame is the biggest fitna for any person, whether they're doing something religious or non-religious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're doing something religious, this time and age that we live in has completely changed the game. Because before, let's just talk about a student of knowledge, right? Before, a student of knowledge would seek knowledge simply for the sake of seeking knowledge.
Right.
I want knowledge. They didn't have the test of, I want to be big, right? I would even say, someone like Yasir Qadhi, let's use him as an example, Sheikh Yasir Birjis, Mufti Menk, all right? All these people who have studied in the past, they're very new, okay? Mm. I'm not talking about old school, like our scholars from the previous generations.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about people from the current time, right? Even them, I would say they didn't have the intention of, their motivation wasn't, I'm going to be big one day.
Right. Well, you know? There was no major outlet.
Exactly.
There is
today. It was
right.
just, it was sheer curiosity. It was the desire of not, the desire of seeking knowledge because I don't know and I don't like ignorance. Mm-hmm. I want to learn. It was that.
It's ikhlas, yeah.
Nowadays, we have social media. We have fame in the religious aspect.
Right.
Right. So like you'll hear young people say this all the time. I want to learn Arabic. Why? Because I want to be like Numan Ali Khan. You know, that's their intention. And I'm, yo, like, if you want to benefit on that extent, beautiful, straight. But it shouldn't come from the place of, or like, I want to be as big as Mashadi Afassi one day.
Mm.
You know, it shouldn't be like, I want to speak like Yasir Qadhi one day.
Mm.
You know, people even are seeking knowledge nowadays solely for the sake of, I want millions to know my name. I want to get invited and speak at big conferences.
Yeah.
And that's disgusting.
Oh, that's very sad.
And that's the mental aspect of social media.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The physical aspect of social media is you building discipline. Literally, that's all it is. Because people love the end goal which is becoming bigger, whatever, if you want to call it that, right? Mm-hmm. But nobody wants to put in the work. Mm. And some people don't have to. Bro, like, for example, you, mashallah, your stuff speaks for itself, right? You come from a time where social media didn't really matter.
I came from the time of the dinosaurs, actually.
Pretty much. You know,
the social media dinosaurs. Can you believe I remember a time before Facebook?
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know
exactly. You didn't need it back in the day. Your content spoke for itself, and opportunities were presented to you in a different, completely different manner.
Right.
Now, if you're not on social media, you don't exist.
Yeah.
I met so many people recently, like at this thing that we're at right now, where their voice is amazing, or their poetry is amazing, and I've never heard of them. Why? I'm not on Instagram.
They're not on Instagram.
Right. I don't have a YouTube. I'm like, bro, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, you're amazing. You've got so much content. I've never heard of you. And I'm not a ghost. Like, it's not like I'm not active on social media, bro. Like, I'm on my phone. I'm on my phone, bro. I should have heard about you.
Right.
So what was your question?
I think you answered the questions that I asked and the ones that I didn't ask, which is good. I mean, this is part of what I wanted to get to, which is, you know, we'll wrap up soon. I know it's getting quite late, but obviously social media is a fitna. And but like anything, we know it has its good and its bad, right? Yeah. It's just the way we utilize it.
Yep.
But I know specifically for, you know, yourself, and I mentioned your social media because it seems like you are very active on Instagram.
I am active.
Right, you are. And I'm learning to get more active on Instagram. I saw the trends. I saw when Facebook was the thing, Twitter was the thing, and now like those are kind of dead. The young people now, they don't use those things, right? It's all on IG. Even Snapchat's kind of dead as well.
I feel like it's still active, surprisingly.
Snapchat?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't use it. I use it for a very short period of time.
I never got into it. I never even downloaded it.
I don't like it.
Yeah, it's just the medium wasn't for me.
It's different. It is. And the moment Instagram came out with stories yeah. I was like, exactly. I don't use Snapchat.
Yeah. So, but with Instagram now, it seems like there are people who exist solely online. And one thing that I've noticed about you, and you know, mashallah, you're a very humble brother. I'll tell you this, humble, you know, because you know you've been able to you've asked questions. You know, I remember even when you came to ICNA that time and you performed. You know, it was beautiful seeing you. Yet you still have a big online presence, but getting more comfortable. Like, and I think it's almost unfair because there should be a medium for you to practice and get better.
Yeah, bro.
Before you go to the big stage.
Yeah, man.
Right? Like, you're big. You have a big name. And you haven't performed that many times.
Bro, I'm not as big as others, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I shouldn't have the following that I have with the amount of content that I have.
Yeah, because you only have really like, as of this recording, right? You have Endless Confusion.
That's it, bro. And three covers. If we're speaking from the Nasheed.
From the Nasheed side, okay? Right.
I guess I have the following that I have solely because of Quran.
Well, I mean, that's not a bad thing to have either.
Not at all. Right? Not at all. And I don't ever plan to not be that. You know,
right?
If I definitely want to be known as the Quran dude first and foremost, and oh, he does spoken word. Oh, he also sings. Oh, he was in a movie or something. You know, like
yeah.
I haven't been in a movie. I'm just saying.
Yeah, is this your way of telling me?
I'm just like low key pitching,
putting it out there. Yeah, exactly. Inshallah, you're being the next one. Terrorist number four, played by world renowned Qari. Okay. So obviously you have now this following. And you want to transfer that into, you know, real life appearances.
Yeah,
what has been the difficulty in that? Tell me about that transition. How has that been?
Alhamdulillah, I've been doing Quran for a long time, right? I remember, let's use Quran as the example. I've done quite a few events where I go on at an event and I recite Quran, right? I remember when I first started, I'm an awkward human being, straight up. It comes from being put down. It comes from wanting to do things, but not having a support system.
Were you homeschooled?
For a year and a half. I've been in public school my whole life.
Okay.
Yeah.
I always have this thing about maybe homeschool. No. Homeschooling, I don't know if it makes people less secure. I felt like maybe it makes children insecure or not able to.
I would say some people.
Okay.
But I've been to public school my whole life.
Okay.
Yeah.
No. Or maybe just when you're doing the hift, probably that's when you were.
No, honest. A lot of it stemmed from home.
Okay.
Straight up. Okay. I love my parents. I have a great relationship with them now, alhamdulillah, but it wasn't always like that, you know?
Right.
And that's where it stemmed from.
Mm.
I wanted to play basketball. Bro, that was my dream, bro.
For real?
Yeah, I played in high school
for
a bit. And my dad one day, he was like, I don't want you to play basketball, focus in school.
I don't think it's going to work.
And then I remember when senior year came, one of my friends, soccer player, he got accepted full ride to Michigan State.
Wow.
For soccer.
Okay. Okay.
And I told my dad, and he was like, "You should have done something." I was like, "I was like, you told me to not, you know." Yeah. So like that was one of my dreams, and like I used to draw. I stopped drawing.
Wow.
You know, I've always been a very artsy person.
Right.
But that got really shoved down in my youth. I'm still young. I'm just saying, like when I was younger.
Yep.
And now it's very difficult for me to figure myself out at 23, to figure out who I am. What is my personality? You know, what am I like? You know, and it's very hard for me to just freestyle who I am. You know, so bro, what was your question? I digressed again, bro.
No,
you
got to
keep me on track, man.
No, man, let it out, bro. This really, I want this podcast to be just raw.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like it's you know, you're letting things out, and I think this is the interesting part. I think behind the scenes that people don't get a chance to see.
Yeah,
you know, because I obviously
remember your question
now. Yeah, because I see you as a regular person, and I know, you know, behind the accounts or whatever, there's like a guy. Like some people are cool, some people are not cool, some people are awkward, some people are some more sociable. It's whatever. That's how natural human beings are, right?
Yeah.
And I was just saying that, you know, obviously now, having a bit of a following and people meeting you and maybe being like, oh my, do people ask you any weird things when they first see you for the first time? Like, oh brother, recite this for me or do
no,
this.
I'll be like, bro, get out of here.
No, does it know when people don't do that to you?
No, alhamdulillah, bro.
What about I'm sure they want their selfie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the modern day autograph, bro.
Yeah.
I don't think any weird, bro, today was so awkward, bro.
What was it? Proposal?
No. Oh. I want somewhere to eat, bro.
Okay.
I want somewhere to eat.
Was it halal?
Yeah.
Okay.
Alhamdulillah. It was halal, bro.
Okay. I'll double check later.
And I walk in, and there was a husband and a wife.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just, I walked in with a friend, okay? The couple that we saw was my friend's cousins.
Okay.
Okay. And they come up to greet my friend. And the sister goes, "Fais Latif, is that you?" I ignored her. I was like, oh my gosh. And bro, I've gotten into the habit where like I purposely wear shades and a hat.
Oh, you're in disguise mode or what?
Yeah, you can call it that.
You kind of look like John Wick.
Oh my God, bro, no, I don't.
That's his name, right? Keanu Reeves character.
Yeah.
I'm saying with a shade and glasses, you could kind of pass as like a...
Nah, bro.
Special agent? Okay.
I get Shah Rukh Khan a lot for some reason.
Is it? Yeah. I don't watch Bollywood. I don't know.
I don't know what he looks like.
Probably people told you look like Saad Taslim.
I've been getting that.
I have a Saad Taslim vibe from you.
I've been getting Saad Taslim lately, and I've been getting... Bro, if I had a dollar for every time I got Ali Banat.
Ali Banat. Oh, subhanAllah.
Yeah.
A little bit. Allah Yarhamah, subhanAllah.
SubhanAllah, bro.
A little bit. But your hair is longer.
Yeah. And then my... I purposely try to get away from the looks, you know?
Like
when my hair overgrows and my mustaches or something.
I kind of see it now. I didn't see it before, but I see it now.
Some guy the other day was like, literally every day I'll get a comment on any YouTube video. Is he related to Ali Banat? I thought Ali Banat died. I was like, bro. somebody was like, if they ever make a documentary about Ali Banat, you should play Ali Banat.
Wow.
I was like,
I just remember his beard hair was a bit scruffier. Like, you know, Allah have mercy on him. He's a great brother, so what happened in the restaurant?
The sister was like, "Fais Latif." I ignored her, bro.
Because
like, I know when someone's going to be a certain way.
Okay.
And I ignored her. My brother was like, "Bro, she just said your name."
So what happened?
I was like, "Yes, it's me. I'm Fais Latif. Salaam alaikum." And she was like, "Can I get a picture?" I'm like, "I'm sorry, I don't take pictures with sisters."
Oh, you still have that phase, huh?
So
it changes, brother.
So I said, she was like, "No, not with me, with my husband." I was like, "Yeah, I'm cool, bro." Her husband didn't know who I am. And I'm like, and she's like, "Take a picture with him. He's famous." I'm telling you word for word what happened, right? "Take a picture with him. He's famous." And then he just smiles. I'm like, "Bro, it's all good. Like, seriously, you don't need to."
He's like, "Are you sad to sleep?"
"You don't need." She's like, "He's famous." I'm like, "You don't need to take a picture with me, bro. You're good."
So you don't take pictures of the sisters?
No.
Man, it's gonna change. Don't worry, it does. Bro, I used to be like that. I used to be hardcore. Uh-huh. I've embarrassed sisters in front of family members. I felt really bad about it. Like, even while it was happening. And then some people who I really respect, I won't say the names, but big shuyukh.
Yes, yeah.
I've seen them, you know, okay, you have your halal gap. Okay, sister, you stand here, I stand here. Smile. I mean, it's the world we live in. The celebrity culture is such that, like, you know, for that person, meeting you might be a big moment. It might be something very important to them.
But I also think that as Muslims, we should know how to, I guess, conduct ourselves, if you want to call it.
Yeah, but it's subjective, dude. I think a lot of times for them, it means like we internalize it differently than how they internalize
for sure.
it.
For, sure.
For them, there's no attraction there, nothing. I've listened to this person. They've helped me memorize the Quran.
Definitely.
I just want to enjoy and remember this moment.
Yep.
For us, it's like, oh man, you know, she thinks I'm fly, you know.
Yeah.
Trust me, I went through that phase. I remember once a sister came up to me in a restaurant.
Yeah.
You know, and she came up and she was like, I saw her build up her courage and everything. She, you know, went over to her friend. Okay, I'm going to go do it. She went over there and I was sitting with some brothers and she's like, you know, can I take a picture? And I'm like, no, I don't take pictures with sisters. And I even had a good line. My line was, my wife really doesn't like that. You know, I'm doing this for my wife. My wife doesn't, she gets very jealous, you know, which is true. All women are like that. My wife specifically. And you know, I just saw her being like, okay.
Oh.
I saw her walk back over with her head slumped down, and I'm like, oh my God, what did I just do? I feel like I told a kid Santa Claus didn't exist. Like, I just completely popped her bubble. And I was like, man, is this? And then someone who I really respect, Big Sheikh, I saw him, no qualms. He's hardcore. Like, and other things, even I don't agree with him.
Yeah.
He's hardcore. He's like, yeah, go ahead, stand there, no problem, inshallah. Take a picture, it's okay.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, you know, if he did it, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, definitely there's some, you know, some thought that has to go into it.
Bro, you asked a question. What was the question, bro?
I'm asking many questions. This is an interview.
Why did I bring the story up?
Because you were talking about, I was asking you, I don't know what I asked you. I forgot the question too. But look, let's circle around now. I want to end because I know we've been here for a while now.
Can I answer the awkward thing?
Go ahead.
So you asked me, what am I doing, right? Transitioning or whatever.
Okay. So I didn't ask you that, but go ahead.
You asked me something like
that. I asked you something like that.
Just go with it.
Okay.
So I've been doing Quran, right? I've been on stage a lot for Quran.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I first started, bro, awkward as hell.
Mm.
Awkward. I mean, I was that dude who would just walk up on the stage, recite, walk straight off.
Would you even say salam alaikum?
No.
Wow, that's
it
awkward.
Was bad, bro.
That's awkward.
Bad.
Wa alaikum salam. What? Sorry. Okay.
He didn't even say salam.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I was like, I got tired of it because I know who I am. I knew who I was.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I know I'm really sociable. I know I'm like, I can be funny here and there, right? Why am I being so ridiculous on stage?
Mm.
Okay. So I would, then I was like, all right, we're going to try out a salam today.
Kind of build up to it.
Yeah, bro. So okay. I went next time I just said salam. Then I said a few words.
Then it was assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Yeah, bro.
You had to take one step at a time.
And then I would actually start like interacting with the crowd, you know, like how's everybody doing? Because what I hated the most, bro, as a Quran reciter was you go to an event to recite and everybody takes the Quran reciter so seriously. I'm like, bro, chill. Like, take it easy.
No, the best is when you start reciting and then you see the women in the back slowly. The drop top, the convertible.
The convertibles, bro.
The convertibles come out.
They go straight up. And then the moment you're gone, it
comes off. Woof, thank God he's gone. Shaitan is back, baby. Here we go. Right? Okay.
Bro, especially at like weddings or something.
Weddings, fundraisers. That happens a lot.
Fundraisers, yeah.
Okay.
But I got comfortable with that. Real comfortable, alhamdulillah, you know? Mm. But it took time and I did it, right?
Mm.
Now it's Quran. It's like, whatever. Like, I don't even have to think about it. Like, if I'm reciting at an event, you ask me what am I reciting, I'll be like, I don't know. I'm going to just go up and see what comes. Yeah.
Okay.
I communicate with the people, whatever. But now I'm at the point where I'm trying to what's the word for it when you bring something back to life?
Revive.
Revive. Mm. thank you, poet.
There you go.
I'm trying to revive certain things about me that have been dead for a long time, and that is singing and poetry and
artistically.
Yes.
So now, obviously, so I feel like this is what I was going to ask you anyway. So it's good we transitioned into it. But so getting that experience on stage and performing in front of it's very different than reciting
it's
Quran.
It's too different, bro.
When you come to lead the salah, all it is Allah Akbar.
That's and it. Even that it used to drive me insane.
Mm.
Like you don't want to sound bad, and you don't want to like make a fool of yourself, or you don't want to make a mistake, or But it's smaller things, I guess.
Quran definitely. I feel like it's a lot of pressure too, like reciting, like
definitely
leading salah.
The first time I led salah, bro, I forgot Surah Fatiha.
Oh,
straight
man.
Up, I didn't know where I was
in Fatiha.
Yeah, it was bad, bro. Like my foot used to shake. My foot used to shake when I was leading.
I can
like
imagine
a
that.
Random, just like a machine gun, just
wow. And your probably heart's beating like crazy. One time, I remember a brother was leading Salah in front of me, and I was in the front row, and for whatever reason, midway through, he just left and pulled me in the front. I think he broke his wudu or something, or he didn't, I don't know what happened.
He fought it, bro.
Is that what happened? Okay. So imagine, I had no intention of leading Salah, and this is a big masjid, and I'm there like, Alhamdulillah. What is what? I had actually I had a brother in Tarawih many years ago, who I think it was his first, he was young kid. I think it was his first time leading Tarawih. Legit couldn't get past Al-Fatiha.
Yeah.
And I felt bad. I'm like, this is going to be a long salah, man. He's stuck at Fatiha. I'm like, we're going to be here for a minute.
Bro, I forgot where I was. I just took a guess. I think I left off here. And I just I just went for it.
And when you left, people just went back and prayed the salah again. Like, I don't know if that one counted. That didn't feel right.
But yeah, now...
So now obviously transitioning into singing, right? What is that like?
Bro, the entertainment portion at Ikhna with you, that was my first time, bro.
Wow.
Ikhna, bro, was my first time.
That was how many people? That was like a good...
Bro, that thing was like 20,000
people maybe.
I was like, what, man? Like, yeah. Why is Ikhna my first thing, bro?
That's like being Imam of the Haram, the first day on
the
job.
Yeah, bro, legit.
Yeah. That's how it is.
And I was so nervous.
You know what's crazy too? Like for me, big crowds like that are less intimidating than smaller crowds.
It's not about... I don't have stage fright. I don't care about how many people are there. Mm. Everybody could be there, you know, like thousands of people. I don't care. Mm. For me, it's not singing well because I'm still fairly new to singing.
Right.
I haven't had, like, I genuinely want vocal lessons, you know? I haven't performed or like practiced my technique.
Right.
I'm still figuring my voice out, you know?
You're more raw right now.
Yeah, bro. Mm-hmm. Like when it comes to Quran, it's, you know, it's just like, it just comes out.
And you've been doing it since you were 6 years old, so.
Reciting, maybe like early teens, right?
Right.
So when you recite, it's literally just using my talking voice, you know? There isn't much to it. If there's anything else to it, it's practicing.
It's tajweed, I mean.
The recitation aspect.
Oh, right.
But in terms of using your voice,
right,
it's my talking voice, or the other only thing is like your power.
I heard you recite, dude. You got some special notes you'd be pulling out that I didn't know how you can get that high. I didn't know that was range like that. That's got some range.
That came with time.
Okay.
Right? So I have a good range, alhamdulillah. Mm-hmm. I can go low, I can go high.
Right.
But when it comes to singing is, in my opinion, far more broader than what your voice is allowed to do when you recite.
There's a lot of difference in cadence. There's pacing, there's tone. There's,
you got vibrato, you got falsetto, you got tempo, like ton of things, right? Mm. When it comes to singing, and you can do things, there's like no rules in singing, right?
Yeah.
And I want to improve it. Mm-hmm. But when I go to stage, I'm worried about sucking.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm worried about being lame in terms of interacting with the audience. Mm-hmm. I'm sociable. I'm cool when it comes to talking to people. Mm. I have no problem with interaction. Like I'm outgoing. All right. But when it comes to stage, like I'm not the person that wants to go on stage, just be like, how's it going, everybody? Blah, blah, blah. I'm so-and-so. All right. And then I would sing a song, right? Mm-hmm. No, bro, I want to engage with people. Yeah. And this comes from me wanting to be awesome, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I want to do good. I want to be great, you know?
Mm.
However, I don't know what to say.
Well, I mean, I was there with you. It wasn't as bad as you think it was. And I think it's just practice.
Yes, yeah.
It's just practice. It's really what you're talking about is banter. It's the stuff you say in between the tracks, right? And that,
bro, you're amazing, bro.
Oh yeah, I'm really good at it.
I can
BS up there for a while.
You're good.
Like, yeah, but you know what it is? Literally, it's because I've been doing this since I was like 18 years old,
bro.
I'm 32 now.
I was like, forget this dude's content. Like, I don't even care. Screw your content.
Yeah,
bro. Of course, I had so much fun just watching you up on stage, bro.
Yeah, but I'm telling you honestly. Like Ilyas was like this, by the way, as well. Uh-huh. When Ilyas first started, he was just super awkward on stage. Mm. And I had to kind of get him in the habit of being like, okay, you know, this is what you warm up with. This is what you, you know, interact. Have a few jokes in your pocket. I do the same jokes everywhere I go.
Mm-hmm.
I have this joke I do where I say, Assalamu alaikum, and they say, Walaikum salam. And I say, whoa, it feels like I walked into a janazah in here, right? And they love it. It's funny now, right? You have your little jokes you throw out, have two comments. And it's not, you don't have to overthink it. It's literally, it becomes one of those things that's, once you break the ice, it's broken. You can start. But it's very important though, because that is how, once you're able to connect with an audience on that level, everything you say after that, they'll love, right? Yeah. Once people like you, they'll like whatever you have to offer. So, but that just comes from practice. And I think it's actually unfair that you're starting now at Ikhna.
Yeah, bro.
Most people start out like here, Muslim Fest. Yeah, like we had a talent show earlier, right? We have a talent show. Like
you start off there.
Yeah, we 40 people in the room, right?
Yeah.
Great. You can mess up. You can screw up. We can boo. We can clap. Whatever. But for you to start here is like that's a lot of pressure.
I'm also nervous about singing to a backing.
Why? Go for it.
I don't know. It's just, I don't know.
Bro, you could just lip sync if you want, man. I'm telling you, bro. I be busting stuff out here, and yeah. I'm like just moving my lips. I'm like, what's the difference? Seriously? What's the difference? People watch your stuff online. They come to see it online. They come to see it in person. They want to hear the same thing.
Yeah.
Don't ask me about that because I'll tell you the easy way out. But other people are purists, right? It needs to be done like the exact same way. But I'm like, look, dude. And spoken word. What's so funny about spoken word is actually for a long time, as a spoken word artist, I was under the impression I couldn't even put my work online. Spoken word artists that are purists, they believe that unless you're seeing it and experiencing it in real life, in real time, it can't be done online. Like if somebody watches a video of a performance, it's not the same, right? So there was a many years when I just didn't put my work online because it was like, that's not what you do. It's, what? You know, I'm telling you, that's the culture, right? Obviously singing is much different.
Yeah.
And singing actually I think is even more harsh because people want to see if you can do live what you did on the video.
Yeah.
So there's a lot more expectations on you. So, but it's one of those things that, I mean, you know, with practice, I think you should invest in a coach as well. Get a singing coach, definitely. Someone who can help you.
Yeah.
But you know, where can people find you if they haven't already found you?
Bro, because I'm sure on Instagram.
Yeah.
At Just Face Latif.
Okay.
The word just is in there because I don't like titles.
Okay.
So.
In case there's another Face Latif as well. You're the just one. No. Justin Face Latif? Who's Justin Face Latif? I like him.
No, bro. So it's like, if when people give me titles that I don't deserve, I'm like, no, it's Just Face Latif.
No, but what are you? You're Estad, you're...
I just go by.
You're not Sheikh yet. Bro. You're working there, inshallah.
No, I'm just Face Latif, bro.
Okay, we'll give you. We'll make you imam.
Just Face Latif, and YouTube is my name, Face Latif.
Just Face Latif, or it's Face
Latif? Face Latif.
Okay, so just Face Latif.
Just Face Latif.
Okay, very good. And you know what? Look, man, you're doing a great job. I know. It's hard. You're. We're watching you grow in the spotlight, which can be difficult. You know, alhamdulillah. I just don't want to see you turn into like Macaulay Culkin or something. You know, like the.
Oh God, bro.
Hey, bro. He was under pressure.
Jeez, bro.
He was under pressure. But, you know, alhamdulillah, I think you have a good head on your shoulders. May Allah continue to protect you, bless you, and keep you on a straight path, inshallah. And hopefully we'll see you again on the podcast. Jazakum Allah khairan. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for everybody watching. Take care. Have a good night. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.